204 DGS. The heat.
It's back.
I'm so glad when this is done. Like never before. Like, I keep saying my HVAC units are on their last leg. So that's stressful, but it's like not the end of the world. It's just annoying. You know, at some point, everyone has to change out their air conditioners. But it has just flagged it for me. Does that make sense? It's like now just like a thing that I notice how hot it is.
Mm.
And when you notice that it's 99 degrees, 100 degrees, and it's 100 degrees, just sucks.
I feel you. I've been into the weather lately. I've always paid attention to the weather, but like now that I'm playing.
Because of tennis?
Yeah, because in the morning I want to know what the temperature I'm dealing with is, because a cool day is a much more pleasant experience than a hot day. But now I'm like super into tracking the weather. And
you experience something most people don't. Most people don't experience really exercising at 6 in the morning when it's 82 degrees.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty bad.
I'm just happy baseball season's over.
I've never seen you so happy.
I was telling my wife this yesterday. I don't even notice heat when I don't have to worry about being outside for 8 hours on a Saturday or 8 hours on a Sunday. Yeah. I mean, like, because that, I think it's just because for so much of the year, it's every single weekend for me. It's literally every Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you're out in heat. And when it's not that, you're like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Air conditioning.
We were just discussing the drama going on with the September 10th debate on ABC. Donald Trump says that Kamala Harris is trying to get out of it and changing the rules. And I think what's happening is the Harris-Walz campaign seems to have the Trump-Vance campaign back on their heels a bit, reacting. I've always said that Donald Trump is the easiest guy in the world to poke and get a reaction from. I think they're just screwing with him. And it's working. You know, he was doing something with some people, and he ended up taking a question on it, and he was like, oh, they're trying to change it. She's trying to get out of it. I would probably rather have the mics on. Just have them on then.
Yeah.
Problem solved. On to the next problem. It's not that big a deal.
Well, now the Harris team wants the mics to be live, too.
Yeah.
So it makes you wonder, like, well, why do they want that? And earlier today, watching CNN, someone with the Harris-Walz camp put out a statement saying, like, oh, they basically, like, the former president can't act presidential for 90 minutes. So they need to cut his mic.
Biden wanted the mute. So, because remember in the first debate when he was like, oh, you shut up, man, you know, Donald Trump just kept talking when it was time to stop talking. And Harris is taking a different approach, the right one, I think. We've talked pretty extensively about debating and how at least I think it would go with Donald Trump. And she has the confidence, and we'll see whether she has the skill or not. I've not really seen her debate much. She could be terrible. But she has at least the confidence that she wants to take him on the way that he is. And she wants him to lose it so that she can make fun of it and point it out. And I think he probably really doesn't care much whether it's on or off. He said today, I'm not even preparing for it. I'm not doing anything to prepare for it at all. But his people, the people whose job it is to get him reelected, are probably like, no, we do not want this. And it's like, you know, as soon as your opponent wants something you don't want, it's now this is what they're going to fight about. And then it leads to little George Sloppidopoulos and all that kind of stuff. And
yeah, that was a decent one.
Yeah, that's not bad. I just wish that these things weren't negotiable. Like, we should have a set of standards for presidential debates, and we should do all of them should be held to those standards. And whatever, we should be the ones that decide it, right?
And on this one, you know what? On this one, I'm going to side with Trump. That you had a debate scheduled with Joe Biden for September 10th with the mute buttons on, just like you did. And it's not your problem. It's not Donald Trump's problem that all the shenanigans happened with the Democrats. It's not illegal. It wasn't a coup. It just was strange the way it happened. But, we've never had an 81-year-old guy who presented as 91 running for president before and completely crapped the bed in a debate. So for that reason, if the tie goes to the runner, I think that the tie goes to Donald Trump.
Sure. I don't see why you wouldn't just have to step into the same pre-agreed upon circumstances.
Agreed.
Is this the ABC debate?
Yeah.
Okay. Just wondering. I don't know. I tend to, I don't side with Donald Trump. I think that it's up to the people putting on the debate to decide what they want to do with the mics. And I don't know. I don't look at him as some sort of like super skilled debater. Like, no, he just wears people out and he talks over people. I think Kamala will probably win a debate if they do have one. But now it's looking like it might not happen. So
Razor's Edge.
Absolutely. So, have you guys ever heard of the term busy bragging? It's kind of like quiet quitting. It happens in the workplace. Busy bragging.
Humble bragging, but not busy.
Okay. Well, it's kind of like humble bragging. It's basically you're bragging about how busy you are by complaining about all the stuff that's on your plate. Like, oh, I got to do this. And later I've got a Zoom call. And later I've got this and this. Unfortunately, I feel like I am guilty of doing this at work from time to time because I will feel overwhelmed and I'll like vent to Andrew's in there smiling because I'll like vent to him and be like, I've got so much going on or something will go wrong and I'll get upset or something. But I'm just wondering, like, are you guys the type of people, if you have a lot on your plate, are you going to vent about it or are you going to keep that more to yourself? And what do you think of the people like me who do busy brag?
I don't think of it as bragging. If you know what's going on in my life, you're someone close to me. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's not like someone who's kind of tertiary to me and I'm like, get this.
Okay, that's an excellent point.
So, yeah. So if you know how busy I am, no, that means you're my friend.
Yeah. I'm not like standing in the kitchen going like, I gotta do this, I gotta do this, I gotta respond to these emails. It's
more
like,
that feels more busy bragging.
Yeah, it's more like, I would call that less busy bragging and more like, talking it out kind of helps you wrap your mind around it when you're really busy.
Yeah, it's like, for example, in our kitchen, we have the water dispenser. That's where everyone meets, the kind of the classic water cooler. And 99 people out of 105, whatever it is, who would ask me, how you doing? I'm going to go, great, how are you? And if it's one of you guys, I'll be like, oh my God, it's been a month since my mom died, and I've done this, and then the probate thing, and then we have to sell our house, and then all this. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes, it does.
Like, whereas if it's someone who is not all that close to me and I'm like, let me tell you, have a seat.
Yeah.
Then that feels kind of like.
Like, Kevin, how often am I in the office and you hear me go like, all right, what am I doing? All right. Just like talking to almost more to myself than anything else, just because voicing all the things that you have to do is a good way, at least for me, to wrap your head around it all.
Got
to
wick the water off my body. Got to
get the cat out of the shower.
First, I got to pre-dry. Then I got to actually dry.
Yeah,
then I gotta figure out what the cat wants.
That's all about familiarity, because I mean, I do that to you guys all the time too. Like, another weekend baseball. I gotta travel.
See, it's so funny you guys are saying this, because I, whenever I was putting this together, I'm like, I do this, but none of the guys do it.
Yeah,
like, we do it.
Yeah,
all right. Everybody does it.
But it's when you're with your friends, it's different. Like, there are folks, they will remain nameless, where you'll have the casual hallway conversation. Hey, how you doing? Good. All right. How you doing? Well, let me tell you, that when we don't know each other like that. And if we did, great, you know, but I think there's definitely a group, although there is a certain group that will do those things depending on upon who they're talking to. Right. Yeah. It's like some people are busy braggers when they know bosses are around.
It matters. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not really thinking about anybody specific in this case, but I've seen it many times in the workplace.
You can add bragging to almost any adjective. You think we're always kind of putting it out there?
Well, I almost put on the sheet that I can be a frustration bragger too, because I have this is a toxic habit. This is something I'm trying to break. But if I do get extremely frustrated, I feel the need to voice it and just be like, oh, it's not going well. And it's like, who am I even doing that for? It's just performative. Like, there's something in my brain that's like, oh, I better let people know that I know this is going poorly. And
so they don't say it.
Interesting.
Right. Yeah. So I kind of try to like get ahead of it or something.
Yeah. Like,
it does is make the situation worse.
No, I've been guilty of that too. I'll say like, this is really not going well. Because I don't want them to think that I think it's going well.
Yeah, exactly.
But then, like, half the time you say that, the other people are like, I think it's going fine. You know what I mean? Like, you've, like, revealed too much, and now they're like, is it going bad? I thought it was going fine.
Yeah, I do that, but I know it's because I can't hold it in.
It's for a different reason.
I have to let that out, or it just, I don't know.
Kevin's like, hear me out. What if you compulsively need to be talking at all?
It builds up. No, I don't mean that. I mean, like, when you're, like, if something's going badly and you're getting frustrated, like, I have to let that out. I can't just be like, I'm going to eat it. I can't do that.
Yeah.
Because then I get worse.
Mm-hmm.
I have another thing for Razor's Edge. Okay. I probably should have started with this because this goes perfectly with the debate. So there's a new study that suggests that taking a short break can prevent couples' arguments from escalating. And this break can be as short as 5 seconds. So you take a 5 second pause, and it was shown to reduce aggression in these arguments that these couples were having over and over again. They did it with 10 and 15 seconds, but 5 seconds worked just as well. Hmm. I think that should be the new rule for the debate coming up is like, okay, if you're getting mad and you're about to name call somebody, you're about to imply something about the size of someone's body part, we take a 5 second pause and we think of something nice to say instead. I mean, we could apply this to politics.
It would change the energy.
It would.
I would love to see him do that.
See, I've always thought, I've never been a part of a couple that did one of those things. Like if you have like the magic conch or something where it's like you don't get to talk unless you're holding the idol. Yeah. Have you ever heard of that thing?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like if, Kev, you and I are a couple and we're arguing, like if you got the conch, I can't jump in there. It's like, take a look. I've never tried anything gimmicky like that.
Like mitigating.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wouldn't work.
You and me?
Well, that too, for sure. You would kick me out in 2 days. You'd get sick of me.
I just got legitimately hurt a little bit.
He just did. I mean, it's not you, it's
no,
me.
No,
he really did.
It's the truth. All right, let's
he
do it.
He literally did. It's not you.
All right, this weekend, I'm going to stay with you for 2 days. We'll see how that goes.
All right.
There you go.
Like, no, never mind.
Now you've gone and done it.
I'm busy this weekend.
Now you've gone and done it. Show up at Dave's house. There's like a...
Careful what you wish for.
There's like an abandoned sign on the door.
Dave, I'll get there and knock, and there's just no answer.
All the windows are boarded up.
Dave has already moved. He's gone. I look in the window. There's no couch or anything.
You don't think a 5 second rule would work for you, Wheels?
Well, I don't, in
a fight with your wife, but like if you were arguing with someone, if it was just like an argument you were in with like Ronge or something in the first hour, and it was like, all right, you have 5 seconds and then you can respond. You don't think that would like tamp it down a little bit?
I don't know. Because I'm terrible when it comes to that. There's one person on earth I don't argue with, and that's Susan. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's the only person. And I don't remember when that was, I don't know if we decided it or just never went that way, but there's never been like a fight, like a yelling, nothing, never. Like, that's not that you don't ever disagree, but it doesn't go to that. And that's literally, she's the only person that's true of with me.
But why is that?
I don't know. Probably because I'm not, this is going to sound cheesy, but probably because I care more about what she thinks and how she reacts to things than I would anybody else.
Well, he just keeps hurting our feelings. Huh?
Yeah. I mean, like, I argue with my parents.
He cares about his wife more than he cares about us. I'm so
I argue with my brother.
We were just in a fake couple for about 20 seconds.
Yeah. Kind of unfair.
Yeah. Hey, we can try it, dude.
You keep saying that. Coming up at 2:30, we have Bernie Miklas and an announcement about Bernie on KMOX. So look forward to that coming up in just a few minutes. Andrew, tell me it's not over between you and Popeyes.
It's over. It's done.
What happened?
You've said that before.
It's not tenable anymore. So I have talked before. The Popeyes in Alton is the worst restaurant in the history of...
Wow.
There is literally nothing. When they do have food, they are almost functionally unable to serve it to you. It is beyond bad. And so last night, my father had a monkey on his back that he's had for years of Popeye's chicken. And of course, as I've said, the Popeye's in Alton doesn't exist for all intents and purposes. So he was like, what if we go to the one in Florissant? What if we go to that one? Surely,
quite a commitment.
Surely that one will be better. And one of the other issues that we've had with Popeyes is that my wife is allergic to milk, so she must not have a biscuit in her chicken meal. And they go ahead and put the biscuit in there every time, no matter what you say. Even if you stand there, she stood there and watched them, and in some kind of like incredible sleight of hand trick, they managed to get a biscuit into this box. And it's just bad. I don't know if it's a regional thing. I don't know if it's an all over the country thing. I've seen horror. I think there was a Popeyes in DC, remember, that was like overflowing with rats or something like that.
Oh my
so
goodness.
I don't know if it's a top down organizational problem, but I've yet to find a good one, and I think I'm ready to stop trying. There are other delicious chicken places that can have my attention, and which is a shame because when it comes to the really core of it, I like Popeyes. I think they have great biscuits. The French fries at Popeyes are perhaps the best at any fast food place. Period. It's a real darn shame. They got great dipping sauces, Mardi Gras mustard. It's a really great place to go.
It really sounds like you broke up a romantic relationship. Yeah.
Look, I got a good one by me, Andrew. Let me know.
Do you really?
I do. It's pretty new.
Okay.
It's like within the last 2 years it's opened.
So like St. Peter's area kind of Popeyes?
More.
I don't want to dox you, but I do want to.
Here's Kevin's exact address.
I've said so many bad things about Popeyes, I do want to at least shout out.
No, it's a little further than that. It's more towards 40 and like Highway K.
Okay. So, you know,
that's a little bit of a haul for you.
Maybe it is a very specific regional thing. But man, it is.
Are there other bad places in Alton? Does it seem to be a thing?
No, not to that level. I mean, there's I'd rather go to this one than that one, or this isn't the best place or whatever. But I can't think of any.
So more Popeyes than Alton.
It's more of a Popeyes issue than an Alton issue. And we really were hoping that we would be able to escape that by going to the Florissant one. And maybe we would have great luck.
Nope, they're calling.
There they are. Took them a minute.
And look, I'm
How
willing.
How can we win you back, Andrew?
I'm willing to have, you know, this conversation with Popeyes, but.
Someone tells me Popeyes doesn't care.
That's the thing.
I think you'd have to get really high up in Popeyes.
I think that's probably why they are the way they are.
I do not think that they care, because if there was any kind of management there, then these sort of things wouldn't be the way that they are.
I mean, remember whenever the chicken sandwich came out and they were like,
yeah,
5 hour long lines for it. It was just like, how
is
this happening?
Shootings?
Yeah. It's a good sandwich. I'm not going to lie.
How the mighty have fallen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm.
And that sandwich? Not that good.
It was good.
It's
I've
fine.
Never had it.
It's not like something I'd stand in line. There's nothing I would stand in line for like that at a fast food place. Is there? Is there anything you guys, fast food wise, you would say, I'll wait 40 minutes?
McDonald's chicken nuggets, probably.
I mean, never. I did wait a really long time for. I mean, I have waited a long time for fast food in the past, so I'm not going to say never. Because
I had. Did I tell you I had a moment like that at KFC?
Did you order the chicken moment?
I order the chicken moment where I waited in the KFC drive-thru for 55 minutes?
Oof.
Before I finally just went in, and they were like, oh, your food's right here. And they gave it to me, and of course it was like soggy and ice cold because it had been sitting there for an hour.
You're like, well, that's better.
And I was like, okay, I'll take this and go then.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Our business is concluded. Welcome back, guys. DT Ass on Camo Wax 233. So welcoming Bernie back to the show. Welcoming Bernie back to KMOX. You can hear Bernie on the Bernie Miklas Show on YouTube, Scoops with Danny Mac. And starting today, right now, on KMOX, he'll be on with us twice a week, Mondays and Fridays. He'll be on with Chris and Amy a couple times a week. Bernie's going to be doing some shows, going to be doing some sports open line, just in general, being a contributor to KMOX. I am hoping, and a lot of people are hoping, that continues to expand. But for what it is now, Bernie, welcome to the team, buddy.
Well, I guess it's an announcement. I'm excited. No, thank you, Dave. It's been great to get to know you on the air, and I look forward to many more conversations with you. And I just have to tell you, I'm going to get a little sappy here. You know, I could have done radio in some other places. I didn't want to. I'm at a stage of my career, you know, where I'm not going to do something unless I really, really want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And KMOX has always had a very, very special place in my heart, because when I came to St. Louis, nobody knew who I was, and KMOX put me on the air and kind of just started to increase my profile and my popularity, if you will, in St. Louis. And there's something magical about KMOX. I mean, I could leave KMOX physically, but I never left it emotionally. Mm-hmm. So this is incredibly meaningful for me to do this. I'm so, so happy.
Yeah, we're glad you picked us, and I feel you. I mean, I'm a St. Louis kid. I grew up eating Frosted Flakes with the morning march going on, and just it was always KMOX all the time. When my dad and I couldn't talk to each other about anything, we could listen to Mr. Shannon and Mr. Buck and have something to talk about. And when my time came, I did 20 years in 97.1, as you know, and when they offered me the job over here, I was talking to Nick, my son, who's my little consigliere, and he said, well, I'll tell you what, if I could say that my dad was on the same station as Mr. Buck and Shannon and Costas, I think that'd be pretty special. I'm like, done. Let's do it.
Yeah.
It's KMOX, man.
Yeah, Kevin Wheeler's, going through the same circuit. He knows what it's like when you're at KMOX, then you're not, and then what it means to come back again. And I'm just fortunate that Steve Moore and some other people there, really thought this would be a good idea. And I didn't really want to host the show full time. I wanted to be a contributor, and just help in a lot of different ways. And it's perfect. I mean, it's a really, really, really good thing to do. And I think it's a win-win for KMOX and a win-win for KMOX and myself.
Yeah.
Well, good to be teammates again.
I tell you, man, I'll let some other information out. I'm having a hard time talking today. See, I'm so jacked up. I want to do some podcasts with Kevin Wheeler. We never had a chance to ever really work together before. And, we both like to gab. We got strong opinions. We like each other. So I think we'll get some podcasting going, maybe once a week, me and the Wheels.
I think we could figure that out. Yeah, we used to do the crossover, right? So Bernie did Morning Drive, and then I would do the show after that. And we did our crossover, which was what, maybe 5 minutes, something along those lines. And we would have our own shows sometimes between breaks or just kind of shooting the bull. But it was always, I always felt bad because Dave, you're going to nod your head, but I would come in like a storm raging in from the plains.
Familiar.
And Bernie's like, my day is almost done. I can't take this guy.
Yeah.
So it'd be nice for us to both be in the same place, both be like full energy.
No, so there's so much. And I know that Steve Moore said I'd be doing a hit with Tom Ackerman on sports on a Sunday morning.
Oh, look at that.
And I'm really looking forward to that. Tom Ackerman is like family to me, and I knew him when he was just a baby in the business. Now he's Mr. Big Time, but I can't wait to work with him again too. And also get to know some other people like Matt Pauly that I've never had a chance to work with. And like I'm meeting Dave Glover now and, Chris and Amy. I've worked with Chris a little bit, but never, I think Amy's great. Never had a chance to work with her. So I'm opening some doors that are familiar to me, but it looks like I'll be opening some doors that are new to me. And that's really exciting combination.
Well, too, not just to be a clever segue here, but it really is an interesting time for KMOX. We're changing. It's an interesting time for the Cardinals. They're changing. And it's going to be an interesting time as the confluence of those things with you being with us during this really critical time. I mean, we're going to get through this season one way or another, whether we're a wild card team or not. But then we got 2025 staring us in the face, too.
Yeah, Dave, and I think, this season's winding down. I mean, the Cardinals have, 32 games left, I think. And mathematically, they still have a shot, but the math is very, very bad, though, given the fact that basically time's running out on them and, they got a pretty big deficit to wipe out. But here's the thing I want people to understand, and I think many do, but just in case. All right, there's always the actual baseball season, 162 games, playoffs, if they get there sometime. But the offseason, in this case, in this instance, if the Cardinals miss the playoffs 2 years in a row, that hadn't happened for a long time or for a while, or if they would have a second losing season in a row, that hadn't happened in a full season since the late 1950s. The offseason becomes a lot more important. I mean, a lot more important than the actual season. And my point being is that I'll be joining KMOX, and I'm joining KMOX at a time where I think offseason baseball talk is going to be huge, and there's going to be tremendous interest in it because it'll be a pivotal time for the Cardinals as their fans wonder, well, what do you got for us? What are you going to do this winter? What's up? Because we all know that there have been people not showing up, and I know that bothers the DeWitts, and they're going to want to change it. So the fact that we can do play-by-play on the whole offseason, believe me, the interest level will be huge.
Bernie, where do you put, on the continuum, on the spectrum, if at one end you have the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Mets, and let's just spend money and pay these guys a ton of money, on the other end you have whoever be on the other end.
Tampa Bay.
We just don't pay anything,
Cleveland,
and
yeah,
we don't care. And then I've always thought of the Cardinals as bargain hunters and relying a little too much on Cardinals Nation magic. Where do you put the Cardinals in that continuum?
All right, I'm gonna be a little predictable, and I'm gonna say they should be a bigger, brawnier, badder. Can I cuss? Badass version.
Sure,
badass
sure.
Version.
That version's okay.
That's good.
the badass version of the Milwaukee Brewers. Because look, I'm not saying the Cardinals can't be up there with the Phillies and the Dodgers and name some of the glamour franchises that just have immense financial power. The Cardinals have a lot of financial power, but my point being, the Cardinals were at their best when they drafted and developed their own players. They made really smart decisions on payroll. They got a lot of value for the dollar that they spent. They were very, very payroll efficient, and they supplemented the homegrown aspect of their team with trades and acquisitions from the outside. And they were really, really smart about it. See, Milwaukee does that. That's why Milwaukee's been dominating this division in recent years, even though they have a much lower payroll, because they really draft and develop. They bring their young players along. They when they get into trouble in the minor leagues or major leagues, when they're not hitting, they stay with them, work with them, get them back on track. And the Brewers are just, across the board, an incredibly efficient baseball operation. And the Cardinals were like that for a long time. And that, frankly, has sort of lapsed. And I think they'd be the first to tell us that.
What I want to ask both you guys, and I don't want to put words in your mouth or like make news, like Bernie says the Cardinals are lazy, something like that. But what's the proper word? Is it a malaise? Is it stale? Is it sort of got caught on their back feet while other teams did something different? Wheels, what do you think?
Bernie, I'll go back to something that Tony La Russa brought up. Maybe these last few years, for people that don't remember it very well, the last few years of Tony's career as the manager, he was doing it year by year. And at the end of the year, he would sit and talk to all of us, you know, and kind of explain what his thought process. And one of the things he wants to make sure that the players are still listening to him and that the game hasn't passed him by. I don't think the organization has been totally passed by, but I think they're at that stage where there's an evaluation that you have to make. And, you know, players all come and go, right? The game will pass a player by, but that's just because of genetics, right? Your body deteriorates, and at a certain age, you can't do that anymore. That's not true for your brain. That's not true for how you scout and develop and train players. Those things can be adaptable, and I think they're at a point now where they've got to find some new ways to do things that adapt for the modern game that has changed a lot in 5 years. This game has changed a lot.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Absolutely correct. And I look at it this way. It's like any other big business in America or even in the St. Louis community. You have a tremendous brand. You're very, very good. You're on top for a long time. You did a lot of wonderful work in setting up a franchise to function at a high level for a long period of time, sustained success. So I think you assume like, well, you know, we found the formula. This model really, really works for us. It's fantastic. Look at all the success. But it's like any other business. If you're not constantly looking around, taking stock, like how can we get better? Where can we get an edge? Have we let anything slip? What do we need to do to restore it? You know, if your model gets outdated and you let that go for too long, and now all of a sudden you're like, whoa, do we have a lot of work to do? And I think they're at that juncture. But I think they know that now, and I think that's the first step to just saying, yeah, we know we're going to have to change a lot of things, including drafting and developing. I mean, really all phases of the organization baseball-wise. I really do believe that they're totally aware of it now. It's just a matter of how are they going to go about fixing it.
Yeah, and I always point this out to guys that, you know, this is the worst baseball that Cardinals fans have seen in a while. And you're a 500 team. You had one bad season. So you're not the White Sox, right? That's a team that was actually trying to be good these last few years, and they're going to have a record losing season.
Let me ask you, parenthetically there, what's the difference? What's the difference between the 2024 Cardinals and White Sox?
I mean, almost everything. Culture, talent level. You know, the star players have been star players. In the White Sox case this year, this has gone south because they were talent deficient to begin with. They traded their ace at the beginning of the year in Dylan Cease. He goes to San Diego. And then their star hitter, Luis Robert, gets hurt. And they were already talent deficient anyway. But this year is kind of the culmination of several years of going in the wrong direction. But as of a year or two ago, they were still trying. I mean, they were buying players. They were bidding on free agents. You know, they were going after players that would make them better. And it just failed because in their case, you've got an owner that's completely out of it. He hired Tony La Russa from out of retirement, and everything has kind of been a mishmash there. Here, it's mostly been about, I don't know if it's one thing, but if I had to pick one thing that's probably more prominent than the other things, has been the inability to develop top-end pitching, and you have to going out and buying it. And when you're going out and buying it, they're not buying at the top end of the market. And I'd be curious what you think about it, Bernie, but if I were trying to redo it, I don't really think how much they spend is the problem. But I would rather shoot at the higher end of the spectrum and find less expensive guys to just be stable and solid and okay, as opposed to spending $18 million on a Miles Mikolas.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's been a lot of half measure steps which can work, but they're not optimum. And I think they're gonna have to swim in the deep end a little bit here. I think that's what it takes. I think they have some young pitching on the way that's pretty exciting. I still think it's obviously way too early to dismiss or give up on Walker and Gorman, but they're going to need those guys to come back big and be what we thought they would be. They need Newt Barr to do the same. I mean, you're right on down the line.
Yeah.
There's got to be a convergence of a lot of factors that become positive. But here's what I like about – all right, I'm going to say one thing what I really like what the Cardinals are doing. They're planning for the future already. They recognize we have got – a problem, not a little problem. It's a major problem. So we're going to look at every aspect of our operation. And that's when they brought in Chaim Bloom as a consultant. He's a really, really smart guy. And he has spent, since late in the winter, he has spent his time inspecting, if you will, every part of this baseball operation, including the minors, including, you know, factors like staffing. Do you have enough coaches in the minor leagues? Do you have enough instructors? Do you have a fully functional pitching lab, hitting lab? Are you up to date with all the other teams in terms of technology, analytics? Like, he's just taking inventory. And listen, you say, well, you know, what is that going to do? Look, you got to start somewhere. Mm-hmm. And one of the things they've got to do is completely revamp their model, and all the things they have fallen behind on, they have to catch up. So the fact that they brought Chaim Bloom in here to basically say, all right, Mr. DeWitt, John Mozeliak, this is what the St. Louis mm-hmm. Cardinals have to do. It's comprehensive, but here it is. Here are the results of what I've been studying. And that's the first thing that leads to change. And I think that's a pretty big deal. So we'll see where it goes from there.
If you are just tuning in, that is Bernie Mikolas, who has now rejoined the KMOX team. You'll be hearing him on the DGS, Chris and Amy, on all the sports shows, on with Aki on the weekends. And he's a part of the KMOX team now. We're proud to have him. Bernie, thanks, and welcome back.
And look forward to the next one, Dave. Thank you for having me, and thanks to everyone at KMOX.
We've talked about this a little bit. We're all into music to different degrees. On Saturday mornings, I like watching CBS Saturday Morning, and they always have a live band.
Hmm.
And they're typically my kind of band, kind of rootsy. They all play an instrument. It's not like dancers and, you know, rappers and solo singers and tracks and things like that. And they have them on. I watch them. I like them. And there's not a chance I'm going to go out and buy their album. Like, what happens? What happens with you to where you're just not open to new music anymore?
I don't know. It hasn't hit me. I'll see stuff on TikTok all the time, and I run right to my iTunes and download it.
Of course you do.
I love new stuff, man. I mean, of course, it's, you know, louder the better, but, like, give me more.
I have found, rather than buying albums, I prefer the risk-free, all-in approach of your Spotify's, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have Spotify, and I like to listen to mixes on there primarily, and the mixes are nice because they will throw in stuff that they know that you've listened to before, but then they'll also throw in some new stuff.
I think I don't do it because I don't want to mess with it. For the same reason that it's hard for me to pick up, like, the new Game of Thrones series. Mm. I don't know if I want that. And I can be sitting alone in my house, bored to death, wishing I had something to do, and yet I'm like, except for that one thing. Well, I mean, except for that one thing that's sitting
except
in my
that
lap.
One thing that everyone else really wanted.
I mean, if you're bored and you're looking at a thing that you don't want to do, that's not even going to fix your problem. Because then you're just rather...
I'm just harder to get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What gets you?
If you don't want to do it, you don't want to do it.
What's going to get you? What's the hook? What would you have to see out of a band like that or out of a show to be like, I have got to do this?
I think I'd have to be like blown away by a band, especially.
Yeah.
By a show, it's like, okay, I can do my usual watch one episode and never go back. But for a band, it's like for me to actually go out and seek them out. I can't tell you the last band that happened with.
Huh.
I mean, you may be going back to like Foo Fighters.
Yeah. And to be honest, most people I know are the same way as you.
Yeah.
I think I'm the weirdo.
Yes.
Shocking.
For sure. 100%.
But it is, Andrew's right. That is the best thing. I know it's not great for bands, but it's great for us as listeners to music when you have a subscription to iTunes or Spotify and you're like, oh, I want to listen to that whole album, and you download it and you're not risking the $20 that you would used to, or you know, $15 that you used to have to get a CD or whatever, because there's no risk involved in giving it a shot.
Although this is going to go against what I just said, but I do also, maybe incongruently, or maybe it's completely in line, I miss the commitment of paying my $10, whatever it is, for an album, especially like a double album.
Ooh.
Taking it home physically, reading the liner notes. I know that that's a Gen X boomer thing, but that was what I did. That's how I learned about music. So this way is kind of weird.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.